Coming right up, Straight Talk with Art Levine. Our guest for the entire show tonight, Don Kanabi, L.A. County Supervisor for the 4th District.
Opinions expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of Charter Communications nor its sponsors. We recognize our obligation to present opposing points of view by responsible spokespersons. For information, please contact the Director of Program.
She stands in the face of evil and will not lose hope or faith. America, the land of freedom, is still the home of the brave.
Straight Talk is brought to you in part by Southern California Edison. For over 100 years, life powered by Edison. The Press Telegram, your local news leader for over 100 years. And Laserfish, run smarter.
Join us for tonight's edition of Straight Talk. Now your host, Art Levine.
Good evening and welcome to Straight Talk. We're very honored to have as our guest for the entire show tonight, the L.A. County Supervisor for the 4th District, Don Kanabi. Don, welcome back to Straight Talk.
Always nice to be with you, Art.
I think this is number 5 in your appearances over the years,
yes, I think
including
it is.
When you were running originally. Let's get down to, there's so many things to talk about, Don, but Homeland Security is right at the top of the list. I know you are on the President's Homeland Security Advisory Council. Give us an update on Homeland Security preparedness.
Well, I think, you know, from a national perspective, we're doing a couple different things, at least the commission that I'm on, looking at critical infrastructure as it relates to, you know, the infrastructure tie-in between government and business and in times of certain kinds of situations. We're trying to create a national template as it relates to that locally. Though, which is obviously extremely important to us, as I always say, the homeland won't be secure if the hometown's not secure. And so we're very fortunate here in Southern California from the perspective of being prepared. We're probably the best prepared of any place in the United States. It's amazing to me as I travel around to different meetings on my Homeland Security Task Force to see the different parts of the country and how we are so much ahead of them. But I always tell people it's good news, bad news. The good news is we're prepared. The bad news is it's because of earthquakes, floods, riots, and fires.
And the fact that though earthquakes and forest fires are indigenous to our region has long got us trained to cooperative arrangements between fire departments of different cities, police departments, and the communication linkage.
Yeah, and most importantly, we have these mutual aid packages between the various cities and the county fire department, the county sheriff, LAPD, the various independent PDs like
Long
Beach.
So we can call in the posse if the local forces are inadequate.
Well, I think more importantly than call them in, Art, is the fact that we, even during difficult economic times, all our cities and counties, through our emergency operations center that we maintain and are responsible for, we train for incidents. And let's say the most recent people are familiar with is that train derailment up behind Costco in Glendale. Glendale Fire Department, Glendale PD had to respond to that incident. But because of that, there's one phone call made, and right in behind that, certain police stations were manned by LAPD, certain police stations were manned by LA County Sheriff. LA County Fire came in behind to man the various
Glendale. So we know the drill.
We know the drill, and I think that's extremely important, and that's not true in other parts of the country. So we've, from a preparedness standpoint, I mean, obviously we can't protect against the person that wants to strap a bomb around the belly and do those kinds of things. But from a regional perspective, from a mutual aid perspective, we're way ahead of the curve.
Well, let me share what I see is a little bit of bad news in this positive context of preparedness. And that is, you know, the ports of L.A. and Long Beach, both of which are in your district, mm-hmm. now the fifth largest ports in the world, are a national security target. Everybody agrees they're a national security asset. 40% of the goods coming into America go through those two ports. They're a prime target for a terrorist attack. And yet we have not gotten adequate money from the federal government to fully secure the ports.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the things that the ports are not getting the attention that airports are getting, as an example.
Right.
And one of the things that we've tried to do in some of our commissions and committees is to raise the level of attention to ports, and particularly important to me. But I'll give you an example. I think things are improving, even though we're getting more money. We're not getting nearly what we could use at the ports. But I think most importantly, the ports again now, because of some certain situations, are working better together in preparedness kinds of situations. A couple years ago, I called a summit between then Mayor Beverly O'Neill and then Mayor James Hahn. And because what we discovered was that each port was independently competing for the same Homeland Security dollars. And so now they're doing joint package requesting. They're doing cross training. The Coast Guard is facilitating a lot of that. In the meantime, we've received a 100-person strike team from the Homeland Security and Department of Transportation. There's a lot going on under the water that people don't know about and above the water. So we've been fortunate there, but we're still not, well, you know, from a financial standpoint, getting what we should get.
A lot of improvement has been made, no question. But bottom line, only about 5% of the containers coming in are actually inspected. And as they say, one dirty bomb can ruin your whole day.
Absolutely. I mean, and we need to do more of that. That's in design, but, you know, that's manufacturing the whole thing. So there's a time requirement there that's, you know, slowing us down. But as you said earlier, I think most important, we know how important those two ports are. When that strike happened, it was costing the economy of America about $1 billion a day.
And we saw those boats backed up into the harbor and the 16-wheelers. I mean, the whole thing shut down
exactly.
When there was that lockout.
Right.
Be careful for the record.
Right.
I got criticized for... the container fee has been proposed, and you know about it, and we've recently had a town meeting on a container fee. Is the county involved in that issue?
We're not really involved, but, I mean, it's something that we would support. I mean, obviously, there's additional dollars that, you know, in addition to security kinds of issues, you've got the environment issues, you've got clean air issues, you've got, you know, the greening of the ports, all those kinds of things that really has to be shared by everyone. There's no way that government could pick up the entire cost of something like that. And I think, you know, if they're going to work through this, and hopefully at some point they'll find some reasonable way to deal with container fees, but I think it's something that should happen.
And Mayor Bob Foster at that meeting wanted to link and believes in linking the infrastructure improvements that the shippers need and want for transportation to their commitment to help with air quality and transportation mitigation, such as for a container fee. And I personally strongly believe that our community should not bear the impact of the traffic and the degradation of air quality just so that the nation can get cheap goods. I think people should and would be willing to pay a few cents more for a VCR or a DVD player at Target or at Walmart, pay a few cents more, and have that container fee go to mitigate the unique impacts that our entire community suffer.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you've got a situation down there where we know it's a true economic engine, so we need to be partners with them. But on the other hand, there are so many, you know, outside issues other than, you know, material coming in or toys coming in, loading on and off, that really impacts Long Beach, really impacts San Pedro, Wilmington area. They have been taking the brunt of that for all these years, and there's a certain fairness. You don't mind being the hub of, you know, economic, you know, goodness, but on the other hand, I think everyone owes some protection to the residents of those particular areas.
Amen to that. And, of course, the C-17 is one of the pride and joys of Long Beach and of Boeing. It's a great plane. Air Force has ordered a lot of them, but there's a danger of a shutdown because they need more orders.
Yeah, I mean, they have ordered some. I mean, not nearly enough. I think we're up to 12 or 14 additional right now. But, you know, the point being, I think they funded only 7.
Yeah.
So there's still a funding issue. So it's always constantly in jeopardy. It's something that those of us in elected office, whether it be in the city council, federal representatives, state representatives, we need to be cognizant of and continue to lobby. I'm part of that red team with labor management and everyone else to make sure that we get our fair share, because the way I view the C-17, it's an absolute part of our national security program. It worked during Hurricane Katrina. It's been Afghanistan, Iraq. I mean, that plane is operating at 186% of capacity. And we know what we've done in previous airplanes that have been vital to our nation's security, where we shut them down, and then if you have to bring them back again, it's three times as expensive. So we're just saying, you know, this is the right thing to do. This is not something that the city of Long Beach or some particular area wants. The impact here is not only countywide, statewide, but nationally for security as well as jobs and economic impact.
And it's the last production line for a military lift airplane. And if we lose that, we don't have one.
Again.
So we'll be continuing this conversation after we pause for these messages.
Electricity is different from any other product we use. We can't store it. We must use it wisely, but can't do without it completely. And there's no substitute for this special form of energy that brings us light, comfort, and progress. That's why California needs new standards that can keep utilities strong, guard against another power crisis, and protect consumers from the kind of shortages that often affect other commodities. Because electricity is different.
At Performance Plus Tire, you'll find we carry Toyo tires. For over 50 years, Toyo has been a world leader in the development of high-quality tires. Optimum performance, safety, and a comfortable ride. That's what makes Toyo tires great. And now come into Performance Plus Tire for a great deal on these Toyo tires. Proxies ST, Open Country AT, and Proxies 4. Toyo tires, driven to perform. Come in today and we'll install new Toyo tires on your vehicle while you wait. Performance Plus Tire on Cherry Avenue, 1 mile north of the 405 in Long Beach.
Let's unravel high-definition television. First of all, it's twice as sharp as regular TV, and prices have dropped dramatically. There's also tons to watch, like sports, movies, and concerts. You should see it on Panasonic's new 50-inch plasma display. You can check it out at Avid Electronics in Long Beach. What else are you going to do with your free time? Origami?
Founded in 1976, Polly's Gourmet Coffee is Southern California's most complete gourmet coffee store. Polly's has the best tasting coffee, freshly roasted every day right in the store. Plus a wide selection of teas, an in-house bakery, espresso bar, patio dining, and more. We also offer Wi-Fi, free internet access for all of our customers. Our nationwide clientele agree, when it comes to coffee, there's only one name to remember, Polly's. 4606 East 2nd Street, welcoming you into Belmont Shore.
We're back at dinner. Conversation with LA County Supervisor Don Cannabi. Let's turn to medical and health care. Crisis would not be an understatement, Don, would it?
Absolutely not. I mean, we've made some tough economic decisions in the county to sort of put our budget in a very good position right now. But the thing that continues to linger for us is the future of health care here in Los Angeles County. It's a national issue, but one that dramatically impacts our taxpayers here, impacts the county operation, because we are the safety net by law. We have to provide that health care, whether they're insured or uninsured.
You can't turn away someone from one of your emergency rooms.
Absolutely not, Arden. And it's critical. So we're looking, you know, shortfalls in the $700 million to $800 million area starting in 07, 08. When certain programs run out. So it could be a huge impact.
Well, we've read much in the news, Martin Luther King Hospital, it's a county hospital, it's a provider of medical services of last resort to so many folks. Why is that in danger of closing?
Well, first of all, you have to pass certain inspections, and all of our other hospitals have passed those inspections except Martin Luther King Hospital. And so the federal government, CMS, the Center for Medicaid Services, you know, they provide their inspections, and Martin Luther King failed. We've tried some reorganization out there to get it to a point where we almost got there to pass. So we're in jeopardy of doing that. But with that, then, we've had to refocus our efforts at Martin Luther King Hospital to where, you know, we've had to downsize the hospital. The emergency room's still open, reduce the number of beds. We're putting Martin Luther King Hospital under the purview of Harbor UCLA Hospital, even though both licenses are separate, so an MLK wouldn't jeopardize a Harbor UCLA. New docs, new nurses, everyone was removed from the facility. They had to re-interview for their positions. because CMS would not allow just to take a Harvey UCLA, you know, smock and put it over an MLK doc. And so,
but there's no need that there's the need for medical services in that area.
Well, not only in the area, Art. I mean, I think what people need to understand, because people want to oversimplify, close it, do all these different kinds of things. We all know why MLK was formed out of the ruins of the riots and everything else, and sort of, you know, came up from the ground up for, as a community hospital for that South Central area. The problem is that hospital is no longer a community hospital. It is part of our safety net. It is absolutely important to not only that area, but the surrounding areas, because we've had 14 emergency rooms close in the last 2.5 years. But, you know, right now they're talking about a Daniel Freeman closing over there at Centinella. If the Daniel Freeman and a Martin Luther King Hospital closed their ERs,
that'd be a domino effect.
90,000 patients that would fall into a Harvey UCLA, LA County USC, a Downey Regional Hospital,
Memorial
Medical Center, St. Mary's. You know, and it's truly a matter of life or death. So that's what we're trying to say. We are trying to.
Well, forgive me. Isn't the solution then to bring MLK up to the level necessary?
Absolutely, and that's what we're trying to do. Okay. And that's the plan we call MetroCare that's been approved by CMS. We have a few months to put that plan in place. The light switched on December 1st, and we've moved new people in, and the emergency room is up and operating, and the beds and the specialty care areas have been moved to other hospitals.
Don, a related issue, a sensitive one, is illegal immigration, and there's no question that illegal immigration impacts our medical delivery system, our schools, and our jails. We have that problem being a border state, and the federal government does not adequately compensate the border states like California and Southern California, particularly with the unique impacts of this illegal immigration on these three areas, health, medical, and jails. What to do?
Well, I mean, again, I think you put it in the right perspective. It's really a federal issue because, again, people, you know, tell me, well, you know, don't treat them, don't do this, don't allow them here or there. But until federal law changes, there's nothing we can do. We are the ultimate provider. We are the ultimate safety net. The economic impact to the citizens of Los Angeles County, just in our county, I'll give you an example. Our health care costs because of illegal immigration is probably in excess of $300 million. Probably the impact on schools is close to $150 million. We have a $100 million cost just in our jails. 25% of our jail population are undocumented. And so these are humongous economic impacts.
That's $500 million you just ticked off.
Yep.
And what's the county budget?
$18.5 billion. But, I mean, it's a very significant part of it because those are expenses that we have to incur without reimbursement.
25% of the jail population are illegal immigrants.
Right.
That's a shocking figure.
And we know we've done surveys now with the federal government to isolate them. Now we finally be able to do those in-house surveys in our jails. And by doing that, we're isolating those folks and then having them transported back across the border. So that's one part of the health issue. And those numbers are huge. But I'll tell you, our fastest growing population is the uninsured. People that have no access to health care. Again, we cannot refuse service. We have to pay for that. In the old days, the private hospitals did all the insured patients.
Sure.
The county hospital did the uninsured Medicare and Medi-Cal. Well, with the state of health care right now, even the private hospitals now are going after the Medicare, Medi-Cal patient because at least they get some reimbursement.
So it's not only illegal immigration problem, but it's the uninsured problem among those who are legally here.
Exactly. Or just citizens. I mean, they could be full-fledged citizens. It's called the working poor. They have no access to health care. We're responsible.
And that, of course, is a federal problem.
I'll give you another staggering figure, though, out of that. In the county of Los Angeles and our 10 million-plus residents, we have the largest uninsured population in America. Over 2.5 million citizens of this county are uninsured.
That's about the size of your district.
That's right.
2 million people uninsured.
Right.
It's an unbelievable crisis, and just for the record, it seems to me one clear responsibility of the federal government is to secure our borders. And if they fail to do that, then they owe the communities that are impacted by that failure compensation to mitigate.
And that's what we continue to fight for on the federal level. One, not only the borders, but I mean laws like if an undocumented woman has a baby in one of our county facilities, that baby automatically becomes a citizen.
Yeah.
The parent child, everyone becomes eligible for our welfare programs. But again, I mean, it's something that we have to provide for by law. It's something you can't, you know, just turn off the faucet, do those kinds of things. But it's a very serious issue, both for the undocumented, but also for the working poor.
Okay, we'll be continuing our discussion, but first we'll pause for these messages.
Phil Trainees mixes California style with continental cuisine that includes fresh seafood from around the world. Since Phil is the chef, the menu has a wide variety of pastas, salads, soups, and appetizers that feature his unique personal touch. And the Italian-American signature dishes are simply beyond delicious. You never know who you're going to run into at Trainees, from the famous sports legends on the Wall of Fame to local celebrities having a drink at the bar. For the best fine dining experience, visit Phil Trainees.
The name Diversa defines excellence in precision hair cutting and design. Diversa Salon has been doing business for more than 20 years. For men and women, Diversa provides the total experience in haircuts, skincare, and a variety of services for more than 80 stylists and technicians. Our beauty supply stores feature Diversa brand and a large selection of major products to keep you looking your best. We have three convenient locations to serve you, so call now for an appointment. For the total experience, come to Diversa.
Welcome to Golden Security Bank. We are committed to providing commercial real estate loans that meet your specific needs. Golden Security Bank has been a wholesale lender in Southern California more than 20 years, and we've also been the top-ranked bank under $1 billion in assets and are now funding loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million. With our experienced team of loan consultants that have more than 70 years of combined commercial lending expertise, you will get a yes answer fast. Golden Security Bank, we look forward to putting our experience to work for you.
Welcome to Maury's of Naples. Maury's is a unique store specializing in wine, spirits, beers, gift baskets, gourmet foods, and European specialties. Upon entering, you'll encounter a vast selection and a staff that is more than willing to assist you. Take time to look around. You'll be amazed. Wine and beer tasting is held every week. Visit Maury's.com to get the latest information. Maury's of Naples, since 1938, where customer satisfaction is our top priority.
We are back, continuing our conversation with L.A. County Supervisor Don Cannabi. Don, the county courthouse in Long Beach, by general agreement and acknowledgement, needs desperately to be replaced.
It's absolutely needs replacing. It's a state of disrepair, but I need to clear up something just to start with before we talk any further. We call it the county courthouse, but it is no longer under the auspices of the county. It is under they were transferred back to the state of California here a few years ago.
Okay.
That's been one of our problems in trying to formulate a solution for that courthouse. But I'll tell you, we could have not asked for better cooperation from our judges. Judge Brad Andrews and myself have been working and lobbying on this particular courthouse because even though I have other courthouses in my district, I don't think there's anyone worse than Long Beach Courthouse. And so it's something you can't fix. They're asking me to spend $20, $30 million to fix the courthouse before we return to the state, which would just be a Band-Aid and a waste of taxpayer dollars. We need a new courthouse. And so we've been through a very involved process. Judge Andrews and myself lobbying, and we brought in our other local legislators, state legislators.
Okay. When do we get a courthouse?
Well, first things first, I wish I could say tomorrow, but I think most importantly that your viewers need to know, one is that we have been successful with a state judicial council, and they reviewed all the courthouses in the state, and you keep in mind there's all priorities. At one time, Long Beach was like number 31. We got up to 31. They picked the Long Beach courthouse as one of the top four projects in the state of California, the largest project approved by the judicial council, recommending to the governor to fund the new courthouse in Long Beach. Now, we have the fight to get it in the budget. It's not in the budget. So we are working on lobbying Governor Schwarzenegger and others to make sure that it's in his State of the Union or State of the State package come January, February. We're working very hard at that. If not, we're working on other solutions and having the Judicial Council of the state work with us, public-private partnerships. The City of Long Beach is involved. We are involved, the state. So we're trying to get that in the ground as quickly as possible, trying to identify other sites that we can rebuild the courthouse, and then we can deal with the issue of the property on Ocean Boulevard.
That parking lot could be the site of the new courthouse, and that opens up that beautiful, valuable Ocean Boulevard property for private development.
Yeah, and I think, too, though, that, you know, we have a lot of public safety folks down there already. You have the Long Beach PD.
Right.
You have your district attorney folks. You have your public defenders, probation.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really good from a courthouse perspective to keep that all in one area.
Well, we will follow that with great interest, and we'll be back with the remaining portions of our show after these messages.
The Port of Long Beach, one of the region's largest construction contractors, has work for businesses big and small. The SBE, or Small Business Enterprise Program, was established by the Board of Harbor Commissioners in 2004 to boost the local economy. Through this program, small businesses get a chance at big port contracts in the areas of construction, environmental consulting, engineering and architectural services, and more. To learn more, log on to www.polb.com or call 562-590-4146.
Sometimes you just need a good lawyer. Sometimes life is complicated, unfair, or you may be wrongfully accused. Hi, I'm Rich Poland. I've been helping people in Long Beach for over 25 years. You've already taken me into your home. I'm on the back of your big phone book. I've helped your kids reach the table. I've even held the door open for you. The State Bar has certified me as a criminal law specialist. I'm here to help because sometimes you just need a good lawyer.
Care of those who are closest to you, from our family to yours. McCarty's Jewelry, since 1932.
Dad, does it seem to you like we've got a lot of different looking people coming in here lately?
Yeah, they're coming in for all different reasons.
Ribs so tender, ribs so sweet. Remember the ribs, baby.
Wow! This food is really groovy.
Yeah!
Newport Rib Company in Costa Mesa or Naples Rib Company in Long Beach, or log on to ribcompany.com.
Don Kanabe, our guest for the entire show. I normally do my commentary here, but let me just thank Don for his years of public service, 18 years in elective office, including stints as at the Cerrito City Council and mayor, and now 10 years as L.A. County Supervisor. A lot of people kind of bang up on our elected officials. I think you're one of the best, and we thank you for your commitment to the community.
I appreciate that very much, Art. I consider myself very, very fortunate to be in a position to be able to make a difference in people's lives. I mean, I don't have to worry about presidential or gubernatorial vetoes or caucuses. Three votes makes things happen at the Board of Supervisors, and it's been a very, very positive experience. I have a great district, great constituency, and a great staff, and I just feel blessed that I'm able to be able to do something like this on this stage and of national significance.
Don, thank you so much.
Thank you, and Happy New Year to everyone.
Thank you, and Happy New Year to all of our viewers and to the community. And please join us next year for the next edition of Straight Talk. Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Straight Talk has been brought to you by Southern California Edison, the Press Telegram, and Laserfish. And remember, Straight Talk is viewable worldwide 24/7 at StraightTalkTV.com.